Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew, chapter 13. Sunday nights, we're going through teaching on the teachings of Christ. And I trust it's already been a help and a blessing to you. We're somewhat into the second year of his public ministry. And been looking at several of the kingdom parables. And it's a blessing. Even this morning, of course, we preached on kingdom parable this morning, and but it's just God revealing things to us concerning heaven on earth and the Christian life. And Christ Himself brought to us these kingdom parables. And last week we looked at the leaven that transforms, the good leaven in the New Testament that transforms. And that's Christ, and He transforms a life. And so we looked at that last week. We're looking at, in chronological order now, Matthew chapter 13. There's actually two parables here that I think go together. And so we're going to be studying these two parables, and both of them's in three verses. And so go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read both of these, verse 44 down to verse 46. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, again, we thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight and all that has taken advantage of that opportunity and are assembled here. Thank you for what we've already received. It's been a blessing already just being in the house of the Lord. But now, Father, as we've read these few verses here, and I know you have a message for each one of us through these verses, I pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. So we have two kingdom parables here, one addressing the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure. And that's what it likens it to, this treasure hid in the field. So that's what we're looking at in verse 44. And the second is the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. So he outlines, he tells us what these two parables are for, and they're kingdom parables. Again, the kingdom parables means that it is what Christ has brought from heaven to earth. And of course, as he began his public ministry back in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, he said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The things of heaven have been brought to earth, and what God wants to establish on earth, which we now know as Christianity, this church age, which what the Old Testament was a mystery, but presented this age with the Messiah coming. And now we are living in the critical age. This is what it's all about. The church age is what it's all about concerning heaven and preparation for heaven. Jesus Christ, Old Testament, they looked to his coming. While he walked on the face of the earth some 2,000 years ago, they looked to him, his person. After he ascended up to heaven, then we are been looking to him for his return. And so we hold on to that which he left in representing him until he returns in the rapture. What he has left for us is, don't ever lose sight of it, this right here. This is the key. This is what no other religion has. no other faith has. It's the living word. It represents Jesus Christ who is alive. He came and revealed himself to us. He fulfilled the word of God, gave us full revelation. He died, but he resurrected. He's not in a tomb. He is living today at the right hand of God the Father, ever living to make intercession. That's key, because that is what separates true truth from religion. It separates truth from fallacy. It separates truth from humanity. And human wisdom is not something that we need to follow after. We need to follow after the treasure that we have, and that is Christ. And so that's what these kingdom parables are presenting to us, is the life that we can live now in preparation for eternity. The kingdom reign of Christ. The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom reign of Christ brought to earth. And as it's brought to earth today, it began with Christ coming, and he reigned while he was here as far as in control of things. He came as a sacrificial lamb, but he accomplished what he came to do. We have his revelation, and we have his church. So he reigns today in this New Testament church age, working in and through believers and his church. And his church is not the building. His church is made up of believers, which are the body of Christ, which Jesus is the head of his body, the church. And so during this dispensation time, during this church age, which everything pointed to, we have Christ working in us as Lord and working through the church collectively as Lord and King. See, Jesus has always been Lord and King before he ever came and became a man. He was Lord and King. When he came to the earth, he was Lord and King inside of a human body. He was Lord and King when he hung on the cross of Calvary. He was Lord and King when he resurrected from the grave. He's Lord and King now in us. He's Lord and King working through his church. That's the kingdom parables. The kingdom parables help us to understand what Jesus established on earth until the rapture of his church. So the first kingdom parable here that we're looking at tonight is this hidden treasure. Again, the kingdom of heaven, I trust you understand what that is now. It's the kingdom of heaven, God still working through the believer, because you have him dwelling within you, and he's going to work through you to accomplish his will today. We no longer see miracles as far as miracle workers. We see God continue to perform miracles, but God is not working through signs and wonders any longer. He's working through believers. He will empower us. He will direct us. He will control the circumstances of life. But God is working through believers, and as he works through believers, he's working through his church. That's why the church is so important today. It's why we can't get off on tangents and start letting the world dictate what kind of services we have. That's what's happening today. Churches have given in to popularity and are allowing humanism, they're allowing people to determine how you have church. I think Jesus established that. He's given us the word. This is what we look to Everything we do here at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, can I tell you, has a biblical principle in why we do it. The way we sing, the music we use, from the preaching of the Word of God, through the invitation, through baptizing believers, amen. Everything we do, outreach ministries, missions ministries, children's ministries, discipleship programs, all of that is determined by what the Word of God says. And we are to continue to reach the world with the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and then discipling them to know all things whatsoever Jesus Christ has taught. Right here. Amen. So when we teach the Bible. We preach the Bible. So this first hidden treasure, the first thing we find here listed is, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, it's something for humanity. And when humanity truly finds it, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath. Once he understands what he has, he selleth everything else and buyeth the entire field where the treasure's at. Now, that, three things there. First of all, when man hath found, what's the most important thing for humanity to receive, if you will find? It's Christ. The treasure that he's talking about in this first kingdom parable is Jesus himself. Look with me to 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. Again, we prove it by scriptures. Scriptures interpret scriptures. Scriptures help you to understand if you're right or wrong in your interpretation of a parable or your interpretation of a thought, your interpretation of a teaching. You have to understand the Bible interprets Bible. Man does not interpret. The Bible interprets. We just give out the Bible. And so we find here over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 helps us to understand a little more about this parable. But if our gospel be, what's that? Hid. It is hid to them that are lost, who need to find it. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them. Where you could find it, because it's a shining light. It's different than anything else this world has to offer. It's a different lifestyle. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? That's just a love reading that. But then look what it says. But we have this, what does that say? Treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, in our bodies. Once you receive Jesus Christ, you have the treasure of Christ inside of you, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So Christ in me is my strength. Christ in me is my power. Christ in me allows me to accomplish what God would have me to accomplish. So, back into our parable here. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure, which is salvation, which is Christ, hid in a field, which is the world, or Christianity, possibly in the world, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. They say, what do you mean when you find it, when you get saved, he hideth it? Well, it's hid until he is assured that it's his. If you don't know that you're saved, it's kind of hard for you to witness to somebody else and tell them how to be saved. If you're not assured of your salvation, Satan has you limited. He has you kind of all to yourself. If you're not sure that you're saved, even though you went through the plan of salvation and you did what you know the Bible says, because you read it and somebody helped you to say, you have to do what God who cannot lie tells you to do. And if you do what God who does not cannot lie tells you to do, then you can have what he promised you. If you just believe in your heart that you're a sinner on your way to a devil's hell, you believe that Jesus Christ came and paid your sin debt on Calvary's cross, you believe that he offers you a gift of everlasting life, if you would just confess and call upon the name of the Lord, I'm a sinner. Jesus, would you come into my heart and to save my soul? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But did you know that beyond the shadow of a doubt when you first did it? Or have you gone back many times and said, God, if I wasn't saved, then save me now. God, if I wasn't saved, then save me. I don't want to die. I don't want to go to hell. I believe in heaven, hell. I believe in salvation. But I don't know. I don't have complete peace about this. I don't fully understand. I don't have the assurance. And it's hid until you are confident that you know that you know that it's yours. God wants you to know. How many times I've knocked on doors, talked to people about salvation, and I said, do you know who knows? Who can really know whether or not you're going to heaven or not? And I don't know. You don't know. And I said, oh, yes, I know. And I'm waiting for them to say, how? How do you know? Well, I know because this Bible tells me. Jesus, Almighty God, came. And he impacted this world like nothing else has ever impacted this world. And he has revealed to me what I need to do in order to have salvation. And not only have salvation, but know that I have salvation. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. And this is where I take them. And it's taught throughout the scriptures, but it is never, it's not clear anywhere else. I mean, this is as clear as what he could possibly give to us. If you believe the Bible to be the word of God, then you have to believe that you can know. Verse 11, it says, and this is the record, the recording. God has preserved it for us. That God hath given to us, did you see that? Given to you, you didn't buy it. You can't work for it. If you couldn't buy it or purchase it, you can't lose it. This is the record, the recording, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. This is the Almighty God who cannot lie, says salvation only comes by way of Jesus Christ, my Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. You just got to know how to get the Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So you got to have Jesus as your Savior. If you don't have him, you don't have it. But if you do have him, you do have it. Amen? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you believe on him? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Have you called upon him? You got to believe and receive Jesus. And these things have I written, do you believe on the name of the Son of God? This is what you get when you know this, that you may know. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to question it anymore. You don't have to doubt it. No, you can know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Believe in him because he's real. He is truly God. He is Lord of lords, always has been, always will be. King of kings, always has been, always will be. Question is he your Lord? Question is, do you look to him as your treasure? Treasure hid in the field. He's here in the midst. He's here on this earth, this testimony. He was walked on the face of the earth. It was a blessing to be in Israel, walked where Christ walked. He changed the world like nothing else has ever changed it. He has established Christianity, which is worldwide. When a man had found, the first thing, you found it, but you have to be assured of it. But then once you're assured of it, for joy, therefore, goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. For joy gives all that he has to buy the field. Realizes this is the most important thing in life. The life of a born-again believer. You can't enjoy your treasure until you know that you have it. And then once you know that you have it, then want what you have. Once you know you have it, want what you have. Be thankful for what you have in Christ. Stop looking for something different. Just appreciate the treasure that you have in Christ. Because it's what's most important, it's what's most precious in the life that we live right here. It is most precious to know that if the very worst thing happened to me and I died, it's really not that bad. It's not bad to go to be with the Lord if you know that he is your Lord. It's not bad to for this body to stop functioning if you know that when this body died, it releases a spirit to go on to be with the Lord. And at some point, all of those of like faith are going to be joined together with Christ in the air and be presented a glorified body. And to be able to have everything that we would ever have desired and expected for an eternity. If that's what you possess, it is the most important treasure of life. If you know it. If you know it. Yeah. Connecting that is the next one is the... Many of it look at the pearl of great price. But the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. It's talking more about the man, a merchant man. Man seeking goodly pearls, plural. He's seeking goodly pearls. Seeking after the things that will make him rich, happy, satisfied, looking for that which will add, give purpose for life, find contentment. Isn't that what motivates most people? Just purpose? If you don't have purpose, you don't live very long. You don't have a reason to get up, you don't get up. People get depressed. What do they want to do? They just want to stay in bed. They don't want to be around anybody. They want to hide out in a closet somewhere. Wow. That's not how God would have us to live. But he's seeking goodly pearls. Something in life. Many live their whole lives with this desire of something to live for, and they die without ever finding it. Because when they find what they thought they wanted, once they get it, then they realize it's really not what I wanted. We look back over the history of what we would understand. You think of some of those that, like Elvis Presley, you know, and people still believe he's alive. I mean, anyone would have given whatever to have what he had. The voice, people flocking to him, had anything this world had to offer. And he takes his own life. Money will make me happy. It hasn't. It'll solve all my problems. No, it just creates different problems. Because there's always somebody wanting what you have. Wanting all that I can have out of life. People seek after it. They're blinded to the treasure of verse 44. And they're seeking as a merchant man pearls. Surely if I have them all, one of them will do it. Some even saved get sidetracked. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, Jesus revealing the seven churches. In Revelation, chapter 3, he gives us the last church of the dispensation, which is the Laodicean Age church, which I believe we're in right now. And even sometimes a saved will get blinded by the world. The Bible says, verse 17 of chapter 3, this is the last of the church age. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's the church who has lost sight of Christ and their need for him. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Just because you're saved, it doesn't mean that you're going to find that pearl that's going to fulfill your life. Your purpose for life. So it's a man seeking in his own mind godly pearls, things that will make me happy, content in life. But then something happens. Who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, one pearl, one focus, one treasure. It was worth giving up everything else for. When you truly find Christ, you realize that's what I've been seeking my whole life. That is a solution. That is the answer. Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He understood this. He wanted humanity to understand. Stop looking for pearls and find the pearl, Jesus Christ, who is the treasure. It was worth giving up everything else. He went and sold all. Sold all that he had and bought it. So be his. Isn't that something? Praise the Lord, I'm not saying you can't buy Christ, but you can sell everything else, get rid of everything else, and focus on Christ. If you see it as the pearl of great price. So the question is, does it pay to serve God? Or is that just something on the side? That if I desire, think I need, whenever it works out? Or is it my life? Does it pay to serve God? Is it worth giving up the things of the world? Well, preacher, can I have both? Can I have whatever the world has to offer and still have Christianity? And the answer is no. Come out from among them, be a separate. They're totally different. If you're focused on the world, you're going to go a different direction than those that are focused on Christ. Because your authority is different. Everything about your life will be different if it's not focused on Christ and Christianity as the pearl instead of pearls, but the pearl of great price. Paul thought it was worth giving up all the things of the world and believed it would pay off in the long run. In Philippians in chapter 3, and I'm almost done here, but let me read to you this. In Philippians in chapter 3, I preached on this not too long ago, a few weeks ago. In Philippians in 3 and verse 7, Paul says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of many things, all the things of this world. I've turned away from them because even though I had these things and these things were not making me happy like I thought they might by achieving these things, I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's the pearl. That's the pearl. That should be our focus. The disciples believed it was worth giving up everything else. Over in the book of Luke, chapter 14, verse 33. So likewise, Jesus speaking to the disciples, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath. When it comes to Christ and anything else. And forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus said, it's a pearl of great price. But you have to want it. And once you have it, you have to sell everything else to focus on it. You can't divide it up between heaven and the earth, spiritual and the flesh. You got to be sold out to make it all that God wants it to be in your life. There was a rich man who thought he wanted Christ and thought in the book of Matthew in chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Verse 16, the Bible says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And then verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, or if you want to do exactly what you need to do, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He wanted pearls instead of the pearl. Great price. Do we know how valuable our faith in Christ is today? Do you really see it making a difference in everything about in life? It makes a difference in how we face marriage. It makes a difference in how we raise children. It makes a difference in how we work. It makes a difference in how we face death. It makes a difference in every area of life. True Christianity, true Christ-likeness, true faith affects our every move, every decision. If we know that what we have in Christ is real, it will be what's most important to us. You truly believe this Bible. You truly believe that Christ is the pearl of great price, the treasure in the field. If you truly believe that, it's what's most important. And you'll do whatever you need to do to maintain that walk with Him. In closing, I read a story about a man who bought a painting at a yard sale for $25 and turned around and ended up selling it for $250,000. One knew the worth of the painting. And one didn't. The man selling it did not realize what he had. The man buying it knew exactly what it was. After it was sold, both knew. Don't wait until it's too late to value Christ. Don't wait till it's too late to find out what He offered us was His treasure and a pearl of great value. If I could have every head bowed this evening. These parables were given to us to understand the kingdom of heaven, to help us to realize how important and how valuable the things of God are to us. The devil wants to blind you to it. Don't let him. Don't let him. Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you. Thank you for the truth of these parables and how we can relate to them and how we need to receive the message from these two. And I pray that we would tonight and value what we have in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to be committed to living the Christian life as you'd have us to live it. Bless in this invitation tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.